dream to be the best in the world?
This is Sunday night's main event.
I'm better than you.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
And you know it.
You want a taste?
You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Put out the caution tape. Put out the orange cones.
Acknowledge me.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show on this beautiful New Year's Eve. We are ready to turn the calendar into 2024, but we're going to still be reflecting on everything that took place in 2023. And this is the most anticipated show of the year because we talk about the worst of professional wrestling from the previous year. And, you know, a lot of people always say, why do we do the worst? We still celebrate the worst. With the good comes the bad. You know, it's wrestling is so subjective. And, you know, we get some good pops, we get some good reactions. Looking up and down the list of what the awesome listeners have, I think we're in for a very, very interesting show. So the way that this is going to work is that we're going to go through each category, we'll go through the round table, and then we'll also review what the results were from last year. So before we do anything, let us jump into introducing this week's round table. And gentlemen, it looks like we all coordinated so well our laundry days that we're wearing the exact same clothes that we were wearing last week. And for those of you who are wondering, listening to this on the radio or on podcast form, just go over to the YouTube, search for Sunday Night's Main Event, SNME Radio, and you'll be able to see this show along with a lot of other content that we put into YouTube. So the roundtable this week is our Smack Daddies. We have Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
We have Brad the Dad.
Hello, friends.
And Eric, I didn't forget you last week. I just forgot your name. I'm joking. We have Eric B. from Impactful and a raw dog himself, Yeet.
If you guys were watching on YouTube, then you would know that at least I did follow the rules of continuity. I have a different hairstyle than I did last week.
I was going to change shirts. I changed my background. So that's something.
No.
I love it. All right. We're going to jump right into things because I am so excited to not only hear what the roundtable has to say, but to announce what the great listeners. And you can become a listener very easily. You can join the Patreon. Patrons get the first dibs at this ballot along with any other contest. The best way to do that is going to patreon.com/SNME Radio. And in the next few days, we're going to relaunch the Patreon with new tiers and everything. But for $5 a month, you'll be able to become part of the family and participate in everything that we do on SNME. You can also find us on the free feed, which you can find in any podcast catcher by going to any app you want and searching for Sunday Night's Main Event. Hit the subscribe, leave a review. It helps us in so many ways. All right, we're going to start things with the worst female wrestler of 2023. This is going to be, I think I know who it is. It's almost a clean sweep from the listeners. So we're going to start with Eric.
I'm going to say Giselle Shaw, and you know I was going to say Giselle Shaw. So you shouldn't have asked me this question because I know a lot of people are going to say Nia Jax. But I'm going with Giselle Shaw, and that's because Impact has done so much to push Giselle Shaw as a performer. And she just doesn't deliver in the ring. She looks very clunky. She almost looks like she's injuring her opponents in these matches. So for me, it's Giselle Shaw, hands down.
There you go. And I did go for you because I knew that your answer was going to be different from everyone else's. Brad, who do you have for the worst female wrestler of 2023?
Nia Jax, speaking of injuring people in her matches, Nia Jax, why is she back in the company? I'm not sure. Just so that she can squash some women, and literally, I mean squash some women in corners. Nia Jax, please, please, please go away. And also, you are not allowed to be drafted to SmackDown.
I implore Triple H to move Nia Jax to SmackDown. And by the way, y'all aren't allowed to trade shows. Greg, who do you have for worst female wrestler of 2023?
if she shows up on SmackDown, we're calling in sick every week. It's Nia Jax.
All right. I'm going to go with Ronda Rousey. Her performance through 2023 was dog shite. She phoned it in anytime that she showed up. That match at SummerSlam where she was supposed to put over Baszler just was a complete mess of a match. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Overall, just a mess of a professional wrestler, but someone who can kick my ass tenfold, and I might actually like it a little too much. That's Ronda Rousey. And we're going to take it to the listener poll. And it is 90% Nia Jax, 5% Ronda Rousey, Natty, Jade Cargill, Taya Hale, and Dana Brooke are honorable mentions.
You know, great pick there, Boris. She will show up for me later on, but that was a great pick. I can't disagree with it.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? Most of those names are going to show up. Most of the names will show up later on.
All right, we are going to be taking a look at the worst male wrestler. Actually, before I do that, let's go to the last year's choices. Worst female was Jade Cargill with 25%, Ronda Rousey with 20%, Dana Brooke with 10%, Noble Picks with Shotzi, Tamina, Madison Rain, and Alicia Edwards. Eric, how did you vote twice last year? All right, we're going to move over to the male worst male performer of 2023. And if let's remind everyone where we were last year. Omos was Nomos with 20%, Dominic Mysterio with 15%, Tyrus and Von Wagner with 10%. Then we also had notable picks of CM Punk, Baron Corbin, Evil, and Yoshihashi. We're going to start this year with Eric again.
I'm sticking with Impact, and I have to stick with Impact because honestly, there is, again, another wrestler who is getting an incredible push and seems to continue to get incredible pushes for this company for some reason, but it's Jake Something. And Jake Something, for whatever reason, if we're talking about worst gimmicks, if we're talking about non-existent gimmicks, the guy's gimmick is just he is something. Right. And he wrestles and he's big. He looks like $1 million. He's not a bad wrestler, but he, for whatever reason, just continues to put on these terrible matches. He wrestled against Sonata. We saw that it was terrible. Honestly, it was awful. So for me, it's Jake Something. And he can beat me up if he wants to, because I see him all the time. But yeah, I got to say it's the worst of the year is Jake.
All right. Bradley, the dad. Great guy, what do you have? Yeah, he is a good guy. Bradley the Dadley, what do you have for worst male performer of 2023?
Speaking of people who could beat me up, this guy only technically had one match this year, but it was so bad, and he took such a bad bump that it hurt me watching him take the bump. It's Paul White, formerly known as the Big Show. His one match, he couldn't move. He couldn't move at all. And I don't blame him for this. I blame whoever signed off on letting him wrestle in this match. It was... exactly. Why would you put a guy who's had all the hip and back problems and knee problems he's had and let him take a bump on a car? It's just... It was so sad for a guy that could do a moonsault at one point. For a guy that I saw live swing Rey Mysterio like a baseball bat and wrap him around a post. To not be able to move, it just broke my heart. But I'm sorry. Please don't kill me.
So he's fallen from his Big Show show days?
Yes, he can't. I wish he was still doing the Big Show show because that would have been, that probably would have kept him out of this match.
Yep. That was a great show. That was such a good show. I love that thing.
So did
Greg,
I.
Who do you have for worst male wrestler?
I'm shocked because I'm going to pick what Brad was going to pick. I'm sure it's got to be on his list, and maybe he just happened to put Paul White ahead of it. And he's nodding his head, and I haven't even said it yet. But the answer here, and the only acceptable answer, is Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross has been abysmal this year. The only thing that's good about Karrion Kross is Scarlett.
His wife.
I turn off the TV when I see him on after the entrance. Like, it's just automatic. I can't watch him. I can't take him seriously. I can't listen to his promos. I mean, I could put him under worst on the mic this year, but I didn't. But it's Karrion Kross, 100%.
Yep. My pick.
Let me give you an added point about Karrion Kross. I got to give an added point about Karrion Kross before we continue. And that is, before he was re-signed to come back to WWE, he was at a indie show that I was going to go to. And then once he couldn't make it anymore, he cut a promo saying that he's sorry that he can't come to the show, but he has to go and change the world. Has he changed the world in his return?
No, but he's changed my channel.
Nothing has changed.
Yep. Yeah, Karrion Kross. I forgot he even existed. I forgot that was a thing.
So did WWE.
And I watched the product.
They forgot he existed for like 2 months this fall, and I was the happiest I think I've been watching SmackDown.
So what you're saying is, what you need for next year is Trinity to come back, and then have every Trinity segment be followed up by a Karrion Kross segment.
As long as Funk is on a roll, I'm happy.
And by then, Eric, Giselle Shaw will be WWE Women's Champion, and all will be right in the world.
No, it's not happening. It never will happen.
All right, my pick for worst wrestler of 2023 was the same as last year, and that's Tyrus. Need I say more? Thank God he's retired. Thank God we're over this experiment. Billy Corgan, come on. Tyrus is my pick for worst wrestler of 2023.
He was my number two, by the way. I knew you were picking him, so I picked somebody else. But yeah, he was there for a while. And I was like, yeah. And the only thing about this is, can we rename this category the Tyrus category for future years?
Oh, I swear that that's what I wanted to do. We'll talk about that offline. All right, so worst wrestler male from the listeners with 50% of the vote, Roman Reigns.
Do you know what? That's an excellent, excellent choice, because Roman Reigns, you know, I'm going to get heat for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Pre-Randy Orton coming back, if you watch one Randy Orton match, you've seen them all. It's the exact same match over and over and over again. And if you've seen one Roman Reigns match, because they only wrestled, I think, four all year, you've seen them all. It's the exact same formula, but, I mean, the last two, they didn't have a ref bump in. So, I mean, that's different.
Eric, can you please walk us through the formula of a Roman Reigns match?
The formula of the Roman Reigns match, it's Roman Reigns comes out, he beats down his opponent, the opponent makes a rousing comeback to the point where you think he is going to win, then step three is insert random oos, step four is Roman stacks him and pins him up.
Yep. You forgot the 15
minute entrance. You forgot Solo
Sikoa. Well, that's what I'm saying, random oos, right? Just got to throw one oos in there. It's either going to be Jimmy or Solo. Who knows? It could be Jacob Fatu in the new year. But they got to go somewhere with it, right? And who knows where where are they going with Roman Reigns, honestly? So I can see why the listeners think that he is the worst of the year. It just shows how tired people are of the bloodline.
And I think that's really, and I think with a lot of these worst of, it's not so much how bad someone is. Tyrus is shit. I will say that. I will say that out loud and proud many times through. But with a lot of times, it's just people's booking, right? It's what we were talking about last week on the Best Of show. It comes down to the booking oftentimes. So right now, people just aren't happy with Roman's booking. So they're putting him as worst male wrestler. But Tyrus, the worst. Period. All right, we're going to go to the worst tag team of 2023. Again, we're going to start with last year's picks. The Ass Boys won with 15%. The Guns, my, how things have changed. Tied with them was Maximum Male Models. Then we had Briggs and Jensen and The Factory. I forgot that was even a thing at 10%. And then the Mysterios at 8%. There you go. That was last year's picks. This year, Brad, the dad, who do you have for the worst tag team of 2023?
So honorable mention to Jinder and his boys over on Raw. We don't even see them anymore, but they drive me nuts. But this is the one that I want to fast forward through every time I see them. And it's mostly to do with the first member of this team. It is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I can't do Austin Theory. Who has gotten a bigger push with getting his run with John Cena and turn it into nothing? Congratulations, Austin Theory. You made the list.
Baron Corbin?
Probably, yeah, you know what? And that's a fair thing. He's back in NXT, though, and he's I like Baron Corbin.
I do, too. It's the best Baron Corbin since the Lone Wolf in NXT. Go figure. All right, so Austin Theory and Grayson Waller is the pick for Bradley the Dadley. How about Greg? Greg, what's your pick for worst tag team of 2023? Oh,
I'm still torn here by Brad's because I don't like that pick. I love me some A-Town Down Under. So that's a team that I'm not going to pick, but I'm going to go a little off the board here. Because, well, I mean, you've known me for this in the best of show. You're going to know it for me from in the worst of show. It's the entire women's tag division in WWE, SmackDown, and Raw. Because it has been terrible. There's nothing here that's positive in it. I mean, they had Chelsea change partners, what, six times or something ridiculous? Tag team partners to keep championships? I don't know. I've given up on it. So I went for the whole women's tag division.
To be fair, it wasn't her choice. But
no, I know, agree. But it's, yeah.
Eric,
I agree entirely. No, I agree entirely with Greg. That's why, because I did have that down as my answer too. The WWE women's tag division, especially the belt holders or whoever is chasing the belts, is completely in disarray. What is going on with that roster where they can't book it for the point where we even care about what is happening? The belts just changed hands on Raw, and honestly, the crowd could care less. It's Caden Carter and Katana Chance now who are holding the belts. Every week you've got Natty as a coach in the background trying to rouse up these girls. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell are there on the roster as well, completely unused and insignificant. So I agree. The worst tag team by far is the female tag team division of WWE.
Interesting. My choice is actually going to Adam Cole and MJF as a tag team, not their act as a tag team. All right. I just don't care for them. And this has a lot to do with the MJF weird face character. I'm just not buying it. Maybe that's the point. We'll see what happens at World's End. But that is my choice. All right, guys.
Boris, you are damn lucky that we're out on the East Coast, because myself and Brad were near you, we'd be double clotheslining you by now. And this then maybe kangaroo kick.
Wow, you're going to have to be kangaroo and kick a lot of listeners, because the worst tag team of 2023 in third place, Hit Row with 15%. In second place, Adam Cole and MJF with 25%. And the number one worst tag team, the Young Bucks at 40%.
I wonder what changed. Wow, man. What changed, guys, in the last year? I wonder what that was.
Couple of solid picks in there. I like it.
Yep. It honestly goes to show you kind of where the mindset is of wrestling fans too, right? As far as the crybaby mindset besides the shop and, you know, do good business mindset.
It's very interesting because this next pick is totally on brand with everything that you just said, Eric, and that's worst on the mic male. Eric, who do you have?
Okay, so if you actually watch OVW, you would know Malabali Shira on the mic is just absolutely abysmal. That guy has held their title championship for a while, and hearing him cut a promo, the guy talks like this. So it's kind of hard to take him seriously, but I am going to have to go with my boy, and I mentioned it last week. The worst on the mic male is definitely Speedball Mike Bailey. Have you heard this guy talk on a microphone? It has nothing to do with his French accent or anything. He is just very off point and you don't know what he is trying to say. So honestly, it's Speedball for me.
Greg, who do you have for worst male on the mic?
I'm going to give an honorable mention to me. So that's where my first mention goes. But I'm going to actually go with, I don't know if I'm allowed to make this pick, but I'm going to make it anyway, Boris. It's Tony Khan's important special announcements. Tony Khan on the mic when he has that flashing logo behind him of the important special announcement he has to make that's about absolutely nothing that we care about. That's worst on the mic for me.
That is a fantastic pick. And Brad, who do you have for worst on the mic?
Damn it, Greg. I should have gone first. Tony Khan. Anytime he shows up, he looks like a deer in headlights. He is the worst. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that we are in simpatico like this, Greg.
Yep. Look at that. What I am showing on the screen right now are the results. And worst on the mic, male, Tony Khan with 50% of the vote.
Wow.
50% of
all AEW, too. All AEW. Not one WWE person is on that list. That is a telling sign of how this year is going.
Tony Khan. Yep. Tony Khan, 50%. Kenny Omega, 20%. And Chris Jericho, 15%. But gentlemen, how much of this has to do with the Golden Jets promo from last week's Dynamite?
I think it has a lot to do because that could go as just its own special category, worst segment, and why people need scripts.
Right? There's an argument, to say the least, in terms of the worst. I'm just going to quickly, some of the other ones for worst on the mic, we have Dominic Mysterio, we have Bronson Reed, we have The Miz, and we have Tyrus.
Fair. I was going to say, Tony Khan will show up again later on the list tonight. I can promise that.
Yes, he does. Trust me on that one. All right, we have worst on the mic for female. Brad, why is it Nia Jax?
Oh, no. I don't have to hear Nia Jax. I can choose to skip through those ones because I don't have to cover those. It is Charlotte Flair who is the worst on the mic. And this is because face Charlotte Flair is the most unbelievable character in the history of wrestling. To pretend that anybody likes her, at this point, we're not even sure her husband likes her.
The nice thing about this, Brad, is that you've got 9 months where you don't have to worry about hearing her on the mic.
Yes, and I hope that she makes a full recovery, but magically becomes a mute.
Bradley, that is the dream of every man for every woman in this world. Greg, who is your pick for worst on the mic for female?
All right, Boris, you stole it from me earlier. It's Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey makes me want to mute my TV whenever she was on this year. Not believable, not engaging. Ronda Rousey, by far, worst female on the mic in 2023.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick. Eric, who do you have? And why is it Giselle Shaw?
No, it's not. It's Nia Jax. It is Nia Jax. Even Giselle Shaw can cut a better promo than Nia Jax. Nia Jax can hardly get a few words out without stumbling. And Becky Lynch blessed us so much last week because Nia grabbed the mic, was about to speak, and thank God Becky cut her off. We didn't have to hear Nia at all until afterwards. And even that was miserable, terrible. Oh, God, Nia Jax is the worst thing that has happened to pro wrestling and the worst thing on the mic.
Yep. All right. Here is what the listener said. 80% of the vote goes to Nia Jax and 10% goes to Ronda Rousey. We have Lash Legend, Roxanne Perez, Natalia, and Dana Brooke up there as well. There we go. Whew. Very interesting. Very interesting there. All right, we're going to move on to last year's choices. Last year of worst on the mic for female was Ronda Rousey with 30%, Liv Morgan with 10%, Jade Cargo with 8%. We also had Saraya, Alexa Bliss, Anna Jay, and Thunder Rosa on the list last year. We are going to move on to the next category, which is worst on-air talent, announcer, backstage reporter, anything you want here. We're going to start this time with Greg. Greg, what do you think for worst on-air talent?
Someone we didn't see a lot of this year, but when we did hear him, it was not great, and that's JR. As much as I love JR, as much as I have fond memories of JR, JR's time has come, and he's a drag on the product now instead of enhancing the product. There's opportunity to do JR with the special backstage interview that would be heavily edited and doesn't make it feel like an old man who is trying to keep up but just can't quite keep up anymore, that they could use him in. But it's JR.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. All right, Bradley the Dadley, who do you have for worst on-air talent?
Mackenzie Mitchell?
I'm
totally kidding. It was just, I just thought, I was waiting for your reaction. I picked on poor Byron Saxton. I don't think he's bad. I just feel bad for him because he just basically is a mic stand. And he doesn't have, he seemed like a nice guy, but they don't. I could have picked any one of the WWE backstage announcers. They're all the same. And the way they're scripted is terrible. They don't seem like real human beings. Like, hey, yep. What did you think about getting beat just 2 seconds ago? Well, it was great. Thank you. Like, no, that is not a question you would ask as a human being. Why not even just a little simple change? Like, hey, after that match, how are you feeling right now? It's sound like a person or put it into your own words. So anyways, poor Byron Saxton.
Yeah, but that's a whole issue that WWE has oftentimes, right? And I think it's the worst in NXT because they're just completely scripted, I think. But whoever's writing these things, it sounds like they're reading a Star Wars script written by George Lucas, right? Like, how do humans even speak like that? Like, it's just ridiculous sometimes. Eric, who do you have?
Yeah, I was going to say Jackie Redmond. That kind of goes in the same category that was just mentioned. It's just almost robotic, and to the point where anything that she asks with the exact same smile. No matter what the situation is, she has this big gleaming smile. Jey Uso actually got at her corpse a few weeks ago. I think he was straight up hitting on her, to be honest with you. But, they are interchangeable pieces. They are just different pieces of flesh in a dress or a suit, and there's nothing that is unique about anybody backstage in WWE.
All right. Well, the worst on-air talent voted by the awesome listeners, Kevin Patrick at 45%, Excalibur at 20%, and Booker T at 15%.
Ducky, do not agree with that.
Shame on all of you. Booker T is great. You know what? I will say this bold thing. I wish Booker T was on the SmackDown show. I mean, I would like to have him there with Wade. One is the face commentator and one is the heel commentator with Michael Cole in the middle. That would be so much fun on a Friday.
Yeah,
that would be really good. All right, we're going to move on to worst non-wrestling performer, GM, manager, etc. Oh, this is a good one. Eric, who do you have?
Worst, what was that? Worst on-air talent?
Non-wrestling performer.
Non-wrestling performer. Jeez. Why don't I have that on my list? For whatever reason, I don't have that there. Just pass by me for 1 second.
Okay, I got this one really quickly. It's Rick Knox. He is the most annoying referee in wrestling today because stuff happens right in front of him, and rather than calling it for real, he just is like, I'm gonna play dumb and look over this way. And I get it, he's got a role to play, but he is, and a lot of the refs in AEW do that, but Rick Knox is the worst at it. It's like, dude, just make them improvise. Say, call the walk over and then say, I can see that chair. And then walk over while you're walking over there. Say, hey, try the spot again, but can you at least pretend, like, protect your credibility, Rick Knox?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
You can go back, Greg, to me now. Have? Go back to me now, Eric. If you want. I can interject myself. Yeah, Adam Pearce for me, and you can debate that he is on air talent or GM or whatever he is, but he has interjected himself into so many storylines recently. They've tried a few different catchphrases with him, which one being "I need a drink," the other one being "and that's official," and it just hasn't worked. So for me, it's Adam Pearce.
And excellent choice. Greg, who do you have for worst non-wrestling performer of 2023?
Okay, I'm going to give an honorable mention right off the bat to the NXT parking lot. because that's
dangerous.
Dangerous. That's why it's the worst performer, non-wrestling performer. It hurts people, man. You gotta go out there in numbers or whatever. I don't know. All right. So my actual answer here is Tony Khan's Twitter posts or Twitter account. It is the worst performer in wrestling this year. And someone delete that app off his phone.
Funny you should say that, because I agree with you, and so do the listeners, because 40% of our listeners think that Tony Khan is the worst non-wrestling performer. To round the list, Billy Corgan, 25%, Rick Knox, 10%, and then Adam Pearce was mentioned. What's really interesting here with this category is this, to me, like how much a year the difference made. In the year, right? Like with Tony Khan and the perception, the optics, the PR, like this guy has literally done a 180 at this point.
Mm. Yeah, he went from being
the everybody savior. Used to love Tony. Mm.
Savior of wrestling to the person we're worried about. I'm waiting for his dad to like take away his checkbook.
You're grounded for a year, son. Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people have watched Ring of Honor where Tony Khan is an active on-air personality.
I just hope he's not underneath a mask
in a few hours.
Yeah, well, in about 3 hours. I was thinking about that in the near future. If he's behind that mask, you're going to hear the collective groan of the SNME family.
They're going to hear the collective groan of the entire wrestling community turning the TV off on AEW if that's the result of the devil. Oh, my God. I can't even fathom.
Oh, I expect what next week on Raw on Draw Straw is Eric Blondon telling a story about how he's out at a bar with a bunch of other guys. And then they have the reveal, and then there's tables being flipped over and people hugging and... No, different one. Okay, sorry, my bad.
Worst gimmick of the year.
No one's flipping tables over the devil at this point.
Worst gimmick of the year for 2023. We're gonna start with last year's entry from the listeners. We had Maximum Male Models and the House of Black at 15%, Andrade Family Office at 10%, Orange Cassidy and Wendy Chu at 5%. All right, we're going to flip the book to this year, and we're going to start with Greg. Greg, what is your worst gimmick for 2023?
Going back to my worst male wrestler, it's Karrion Kross. I
what is his gimmick?
That's the problem. I don't know. It's black and white until they get to the ring, I guess, and we get to see Charlotte or get to see Scarlett. Like I don't know what his gimmick is. He says TikTok a few times. I don't know if he's trying to promote some new social media app. I haven't figured that part out yet.
Or he's trying to be Kesha. Because God knows I love Kesha.
Some key dollar sign ha. Yeah, I got it.
Brad, the dad, what is your worst gimmick?
The WWE Women's Tag Division. That is the worst gimmick. It was just, what do those titles mean? That you have successfully been a tag team for longer than 2 weeks and that you now have the titles. And now you're going to defend them against the tag team of the week and you'll beat some other jobbers and then somebody else will take them from you 3 weeks later. Or even worse, you'll get hurt. That's the worst gimmick of the year.
Yep. That's for sure it. Eric, what do you have?
Oh, honestly, it pains me to say it, but the worst gimmick is Shinsuke Nakamura's current state in WWE. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like, and it will come up later, the ball has been significantly dropped from turning this guy going back in time to the New Japan days of Strong Style Shin and he just continues to lose every single match that he's in. Whatever, he can miss people in the face, but he continues to lose. So for me, it is this strong style Shinsuke.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the Bray Wyatt syndrome, right? Where Bray Wyatt, excellent, like, visuals, great character, but at the end of the day, it's wrestling, and wins and losses do matter. So if you're constantly losing every single match and every single feud that you have, well, people are just not going to care about you. And I think that's where we're at with Shinsuke Nakamura at this point. And Eric, I agree 100% with you, because I have here in my notes, in quotes, the Bray Wyatt syndrome.
Mm.
Right.
Yep. All right. Worst gimmick. From the listeners. And again, this is telling of the state of the wrestling world. And it's face MJF with 50%.
Wow.
That's wild.
WWE Draft, 20%. And QTV with 15% rounds out the top three.
QTV makes the list somehow.
Right? love it. All right, worst match of the year. This one is very interesting. We're going to go back to last year first. Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee from WrestleMania with 50%. The Men's Royal Rumble with 20%. Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi from Survivor Series with 10%. We're going to flip it to 2023, and we're going to start with Greg this time.
All right. So my worst match of 2023 goes back to the same night as my best match of 2023. It's August 18th, 2023 at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, and it's Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair versus Damage Control. And as Boris kind of, you know, rubs his face here, because I know he was there live, he saw this, and there's Charlotte in the ring reaching her hand out for Bianca Belair for what feels like 15, 20 seconds and is not being impeded in any way, shape, or form, and doesn't actually make the connection of the tag. That botch there made this match unwatchable to me. And this happened, I think, relatively early in this match, but I hated this match so much. This ruined the card for me until we got to the end. So I just couldn't. I when I think of bad matches this year, it's this match that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I like that choice. All right, Brad, the dad, what is your worst match for 2023?
I am mirroring Greg in the sense that it's from the same card. This comes from Blood and Guts on Dynamite from the Boston Gardens. It is Britt Baker versus the local enhancement talent that she beat in about 2 minutes. It annoyed me so much that that was the only women's match on that show, and that Britt Baker was over. People wanted to see her, and they just basically put her out there in a meaningless match. It drove me nuts, because I'm like, so you want to give the woman time, but you don't want to give the woman time. So you don't want us to say that you didn't have a women's match on Blood and Guts. So you're going to put this in there. This has nothing to do with either of those women. It has to do with AEW management not featuring the women's talent, even though at that point they had, and to this day, have a lot of great women's talent. They just don't focus on them.
If the match was there just for fans to chant DMD and for us to see the Lockjaw, and that's it.
Yeah, sounds about right. Eric, I sure hope that we have the same pick, but what is your worst match of the year for 2023?
We might not have the same pick, because a lot of people are going to hate me for what I say, and it has nothing to do with the legacy of the person, but it has everything to do with how poorly this match was arranged. And this is going to be the Pitch Black match and that happened between Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. And sure, you might hate me because yes, Bray Wyatt has passed away, but is no disrespect to the man. The way that they set these guys up to fail for this match was horrendous. What was the plan in the first place? What was the benefit to both men of being in this match? Why the hell did we get neon paint all over Bray Wyatt? And why did that make him any more scarier than he was, or build up on the current gimmick? Which, by the way, the Uncle Howdy thing was really over like Rover. There was no need to put him in black light paint, and that's why it was so terrible to me.
So It's funny because that was my choice as well, 100%. But I'm going to have to go with my second choice, which was a match that we were there live for, kind of, in Impact Wrestling, Eddie Edwards versus Kazarian in this Back to Basics match. And if you were there live, you were able to watch it on a 72-inch screen at the Rebel Compound. And when your back is to the screen and on the ramp, you can't see anything. So we were basically there for, what, 20 minutes doing nothing? And it happened right before or after the break?
It was absolutely awful. It was one of few wrestling matches this year that had me legitimately standing up in my chair, screaming out, who is this for? Like, what are we doing? So, yes, the Killer Kowalski match, whatever you want to call it, Back to Basics, it was so bad. And you've kind of already led me into worst feud of the year for me by bringing up Eddie Edwards and Frankie Kazarian and their 15 matches that they had this year. For the last time. But man, yeah, Boris, you might want to ask that question before I rant a little bit too much about this.
I know, right? All right, so we're going to go to the listeners. And the worst match of the year was the MMA match at SummerSlam between Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey with 55%. Eric, I don't think a lot of people are going to hate you because in second place, 20% say Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight in the Lights Out match at Royal Rumble. We have Tyrus versus and EC3 with 10%. 10%? I highly doubt 10% of the votes. I highly doubt that many people actually watch the match.
I watched that god-awful match for this show. I went back and found it because Tyrus was I had to see how bad it was.
I just got to say, solid picks from the SNME listeners, because I had forgotten, I had blocked that MMA match out of my brain. So thank you for reminding me how bad that match was.
And
that match failed so hard, and it could have succeeded so easily.
And at 5%, we have PCO Bully Ray from Victory Road in Impact Wrestling. All right, we're going to move on to the worst feud of the year. This one, again, listeners, I love you all. You guys are the best. You really complete me. Help me help you. You're helping us give you an entertaining show with your picks. And that is on the worst feud of the year. If we look at the worst feud of the year from last year, I forgot that these were even things. We had Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose. And then as Nyla Rose as the belt stealer. And then we also had The Miz versus Dexter Lumis. We also had Matt Hardy versus Andrade Family Office with the Dark Order. And then Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey to round things out this year. I'm going to be honest. The listeners didn't even give us a program that was watchable on TV. But we're going to start with our picks. Greg, what is your pick?
I think you should come back to me at the end, because I think I have the viewers pick. Go to Eric. Eric already started the rant on this.
I can keep ranting because honestly, Eddie Edwards versus Frankie Kazarian and their feud was probably the most boring thing to happen to all of professional wrestling this year. And that includes interjecting Tracy Brooks for nostalgia pops, interjecting Alicia Edwards for God knows what, because she can't wrestle, nor does she really even look that good on TV. But it was so bad that I found myself literally turning off and like shutting down and wanting to quit Impactful because this feud continued. So at least it's over now. At least I think it is. At least I think. But we'll see.
We'll see on January 13th when TNA Wrestling returns. That's going to be the feud of the year next year. I'm telling you.
Wait. Is the feud of the year next year going to be Eric versus TNA Wrestling?
Well, we were close to that one this year.
Everything is negative about TNA. Listen, Listen, I'm forced to watch Impact every week, so give me my little solemn of peace here, okay?
Listen, you do God's work. You watch both Raw and TNA, so we don't have to. So we appreciate you so much for that. I'm going to just keep going. Jay White versus MJF is my worst feud of the year. We got our belt stealing angle back because apparently now that Jade has left AEW, she could take that gimmick. She didn't take it with her. And so we get to the pay-per-view, and what happens? MJF gets attacked during the match, and we have Adam Cole come out in crutches to defend the title. This is literally the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it just, okay, the way I tell you a bad feud is either wrestler more over or less over after the feud. And the answer is they're both less over. Thanks, Tony.
Yep. Well, I agree wholeheartedly with you. That is my choice as well. So let us just jump. I'm going to skip you, Greg, because we're going to jump to the listener. We're going to jump to the listener choices, because at 50%, Tony Khan versus CM Punk. And then at 25%, WWE fans versus AEW fans.
Great pick. But yeah, that's why I had you pass on me, because the worst feud of this year, there is no question about it. It's CM Punk versus Tony Khan. Like, you have Petulant Child in CM Punk, and, you know,
versus Petulant Child in Tony Khan.
Petulant Child, Tony Khan. Tony gave him his own little island to go play on. He still couldn't play nice over there. So, I mean, what else can you do? This is the worst feud of the year, because it is going to have negative impacts on AEW for years to come. This is it.
And it can't pay off in a match. Like, it, there's never going to be a match. Well, okay, never say never. But also, they also had NDA, so we're never actually going to hear the full story, which, I mean, someday I hope we get to hear the full story, but not anytime soon.
Tales of the territory down the road, you know, Dark Side of the Ring, major years from now.
The rise and fall of AEW, produced by WWE fans. You know, like, calm down, tranquilo, everyone. I'm joking.
Half joking.
50% said Punk and Khan. 25% said WWE fans versus AEW fans. That one honestly made me laugh so hard. As I see people constantly say the same things, I'm like, what is going on? And again, this goes to show you the state of, you know, not only how people think about what people think about tribalism, but what people think of Tony Khan and how he's acted throughout 2023. All right, we're going to jump to the worst angle. This can be one-off or recurring. The worst angle of 2023. Eric, we're going to start with you.
Honestly, a lot of Canadians might not like me for this, but it's Natalia not retiring. And Natalia is very important to the company, and she could do a lot backstage to help produce, to help coach. But for whatever reason, they put her into this role where she's almost like an on-screen coach. And it's entirely unbelievable. It seems like she's almost acting like a heel, but supposed to be a face. Like, it's hard for me to tell what it is. And she doesn't elevate the talent of anybody that she's either with in matches, entire team matches, or against in one-on-one matches. So for me, it's just Natty not retiring.
Very interesting. I like that one choice a lot. Bradley the Dadley, what are you saying for worst angle of 2023?
I had a couple of ones that I like. We had to sit through the return of the military character, Lacey Evans, back on SmackDown. That drove me nuts. But I'm going to say that it is the devil storyline currently going on in AEW. I mean, it is driving me nuts. And at the end of the day, I don't care who's underneath the mask. And I don't care about beating up jobbers and masks and matches. I just don't care. Every time it comes on, and I love Samoa Joe and MJF, but I'm done. I don't care.
Well, put a pin on that. Greg, what's your pick?
My worst angle of 2023 is WWE not having an exit plan to Roman Reigns' title run.
Yeah,
so
I can see that for sure.
They don't have an ending in mind up to this point. I mean, there's been reports out that, you know, Roman Reigns will decide who he's going to lose the belt to. There's no plan. There's no long-term planning here. There's no path forward. So WWE has booked themselves into a corner where they have the formulaic Roman Reigns match, and that's what it's going to be until Roman decides he's no longer wants to be champion, I guess, maybe 2025, 2026, 2020. I don't know. I don't know how we get out of this.
Okay, here is the listener's choice, because my choice is the devil, but I'm going to jump to the listener's choice. I did say we would put a pin on it, so let's revisit that pin. And number one and two, take 85% of the vote and just listen to this. 50%, and the winner is MJF's babyface run. 35% say the devil. 85%. Do not like MJF, babyface run, and the devil. Like, that's staggering to me. Like, I'm shocked. I knew AEW would fall out of favor, but not to this extent.
As I say, that's two of their biggest storylines all year, right? And that's what the fans our listeners are coming in with as what they hated the most.
Eric,
but the people who absolutely love AEW, right? They're the ones that feel completely otherwise. They love the MJF babyface run. I don't know if all the, you know, AEW tribalists really like this devil gimmick. It's far too drawn out at this point, and we just want an answer. And once we get that answer, you know, it's been mentioned multiple times on the show, do we even care anymore, right? We did care at some point, but we don't anymore. So I don't blame fans for giving up on some of this nonsense that AEW is pushing out at us.
Yep. And then to round out the list is Uso on Uso violence, the betrayal of the Usos with 20%. Or sorry, 10%. Yeah, there you go. There we go. So MJF babyface run with 50%, the devil with 35%, Uso on Uso violence with 10%. And then there was a bunch of random ones. All right, this one's always a fun one. They really dropped the ball on. And Greg, I'm going to start with you because I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
Okay, I'm going to give two honorable mentions to start here because, well, again, I play by my own rules. Right off the bat, Cody Rhodes not beating Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, definitely an honorable mention in this category. But I'm also going to give an AEW pick here, and it's Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, the match that never happened, that they teased forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But where they really dropped the ball here, and it's without doubt in my mind, it's Montreal, the Centre Bell, Elimination Chamber, and Sami Zayn not holding up that belt and beating Roman Reigns, even as a transitional champion. Sami should have been the champion that night in Montreal, and there is no convincing me that he has gotten better since that. Yes, he was tag champion with Kevin Owens, WrestleMania, whatever. That to me meant nothing. The big story here was Sami winning the belt at that big show with the big fight feel with Ariel Helwani there. You know, the amount of press they could have gotten from that, the amount of, 24, can you imagine the WWE 24 of Sami Zayn coming home, winning the belt at home on top of everything else? Like there is, you know, months of extra content that could have been developed as a result of this. But nope, that's where I say they really dropped the ball this year.
Interesting. Very good pick. Brad, what do you have?
They really dropped the ball on re-signing CM Punk. Sorry. I know lots of people are Punk fans, but I don't want to... He's a channel changer for me. I find his some of the way he treats other people, deplorable, some of his public comments, deplorable, and just generally, I don't think the hype's going to last because I think he's going to get hurt again. So yeah, CM Punk. And I was never so happy to when he got drafted over to Raw.
Eric, what is your they really dropped the ball on pick?
Honestly, there's so many, but the first one that comes to mind is WWE not re-signing Edge and letting Edge finish out the rest of his wrestling career with the company that made him. Going to AEW now as Adam Copeland, it's just not the same feel, man. And that kind of even goes down to Full Gear, that trios match with Sting and Darby and Ric Flair in his corner. It just doesn't feel like the same thing, and it feels like that retirement match was really the peak echelon of what Edge was supposed to be for us in wrestling. So I think it's not letting Edge, you know, be signed to work the background, work house shows, whatever it was they were going to have him work, and going off to Black and Gold.
To add to Eric's point there, the other thing they dropped the ball on with Edge there with WWE is that special night in Toronto and not having Tony Chimmel. And I don't care if he works backstage for AEW. They could pick up the phone. They could make a phone call and say, hey, listen, we'd like to get Tony to come over one night to announce Edge to the ring. He is synonymous with Edge. They could have worked something out. They really dropped the ball there on giving him that one last big hurrah. And whether he went off to AEW or not, you're right. He could have re-signed with WWE if they wanted to. But they really dropped the ball on that part of the finale for Edge in WWE.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly on both of what both of you guys are saying, because for me, it is Edge and the way he left WWE. It just felt so anticlimactic. It kind of felt like a weird ending. It kind of just didn't feel right. And God bless Adam Copeland. I want him to have, you know, he can finish his story how he wants, and I'm happy for him, but it just, as a fan, it just feels different. It feels weird. It doesn't feel right. You know, honestly, it kind of feels like Bret Hart in WCW. It just doesn't feel the same. It just doesn't feel the same. All right, what they really dropped the ball on, Sami Zayn, Elimination Chamber, 30%. Is the winner for this year. Cody finishing the story at 20%. The AEW women's division at 15%. MJF championship run at 15%. And then we had LA Knight, Swerve versus Keith, Ricky Starks, and Ethan Page as honorable mentions.
Can't argue with any of those things, especially like Keith Lee. He should be somewhere on TV, and I don't know what's going on.
He's on ROH, pal. All right, most overrated performer stipulation. It can be whatever. This one, I just love. Like we're so up and down with things. Right, so we're gonna go to last year's the most overrated. The most overrated last year was Money in the Bank, 20%. CM Punk at 15%, and then ROH TV at 10%. We're going to start with Brad. Brad, what is the most overrated thing in pro wrestling in 2023?
I will continue with the CM Punk hate train over here. CM Punk coming back to WWE, and this is going to be a great move for the company. And yeah, until something goes wrong. Or if it is a great move, it is going to sink AEW, because that means if CM Punk can get along in the backstage area at WWE but couldn't at AEW, what is the difference? It's because adults run one company and children run the other one, I think.
Yeah, can't argue that one. Eric, what do you have for most overrated?
Cody Rhodes and his story, finishing his story, his never-ending story. And I see audible gasps. I see audible gasps. And I understand that everybody loves Cody Rhodes, especially our American listeners. But, man, you know what? A comparison was made to John Cena earlier. He is very much like John Cena. He's got the Cody Rhodes five moves of doom instead. If you've seen one Cody Rhodes match, you've seen them all. Another statement that was made earlier in the show. But it's just, I am kind of tired of hearing the story end. And now with like CM Punk being introduced, Randy Orton, all these other guys, Are we ever going to get to the end of this 9,000 chapter book?
This is honestly turning into Game of Thrones, right? Like, they're never going to finish the story for Cody Rhodes or Game of Thrones, right? That's where we're at. I don't know why I'm saying right so many times. Who wants to go?
I was going to say, it's me. I'm left. You know, if this was Smack Daddy's, Brad would already have the music queued up for me to play at this point. But I while I definitely see Eric's point here, the correct answer is CM Punk is the most overrated thing from 2023. He was overrated at AEW. He is definitely overrated in WWE with grown men crying in bars and tipping over tables and brawling. I like Brad, I don't think I could have been happier to find out that CM Punk will not be on my SmackDown every week. One of the hardest shows this year to watch was that tribute to the troops when he showed up. So glad that he is over with you, Eric, on Mondays, because, well, when he shows up for Mondays, because I am very happy to not have him on my TV on the Friday nights that he wants to show up to work.
CM Punk coming back to WWE. The women were getting pregnant. The men began fighting with each other. It was pandemonium throughout Toronto. All right, so we're going to go to the listener's choice.
I'm starting to wonder now what stories Boris hasn't told us about the women getting pregnant in Toronto.
Here's mine. And it's funny because it's on the list for the listener one, and it's just the lights going out. We don't need this anymore in wrestling. Pay the bills, as Dan Oransky used to say. It's just the gimmick that I'm just completely over with. But here is what the people said. Yep. CM Punk wins for the most overrated with 30%. This is what I mean. The choices are just so weird. Like, he gets best comeback, but yet the most overrated and so much more. It's like, it's wrestling fans are the best. So CM Punk, 30%. AEW Collision with 20%.
For a minute there. AEW
Collision with 20%.
For a minute there, Boris, I thought In Living Color was the most overrated in 2023.
Best comedy show ever from the 90s.
No, I meant
the band.
I know what you meant.
The band.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Right. Yeah, no. I love lights... Mason Fire Marshall Bill.
Yep.
homie, we don't play that game. Lights Going Out gimmick at 15% and Wardlow at 10%. But CM Punk wins this.
The Lights Going Out gimmick, that one surprises me because Dexter Lumis hasn't been on TV for, what, 7 months, 8 months now? So, like, that one, I don't get that pick.
Maybe Dexter Lumis is the devil. Boom. Oh, we figured it out. But AEW Collision at 20%.
Oh, that would make me so excited to watch AEW's product. I would tune in for sure every week.
Maybe it can be, you know what? It'd be really funny just for the laughs if it was Tyrus. So it's that skinny little guy, and then all of a sudden it's Tyrus.
That's up there with Rikishi hitting Austin with the car and them asking all the women. Oh, my God.
I did it for MJF.
Oh, somebody call his mama. Worst event pay-per-view of wrestling for 2023. Yeah, this one is a fun one. Greg, we're going to start with you.
Okay, so this is going to go exactly opposite of my best event for 2023. And it's where Brad turned off the TV. It's Survivor Series after the damn WWE logo comes up at the end. Because that was absolute shit. And I'm sorry, but that I have no time for that. The introduction of CM Punk back to WWE in Chicago made that the worst event from that point on.
Oh, can I keep going, please? Because that killed me. I literally did not. I turned it off. And then I think Greg's trolling me. And then I'm pulling out my phone. And I'm going to let a secret out on this right now. You ready? Burkhead didn't know either. Burkhead had no idea. Greg was the only one to say the end. So Burkhead and I are sitting there waiting for Greg to come on the podcast because he's watching Punk. And it ruined my night. And it took it's taken weeks for me to get this out of my system. Yeah, if he would end up on SmackDown, I would have cried. I would have needed to go to confession on a regular basis because I would say so many bad words.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh my God. Yeah.
So, if I'm going to curse, I think I'm going to use the word CM Punk from now on as my curse word.
Smack daddies, tell us how you really feel about CM Punk. Eric, what's your pick for worst event?
You'll know CM Punk will never get never be contacting us for an in-depth interview, right?
You know that if we get one, you guys are doing it.
Oh, man. Listen, last time he was on this network, he was talking about his TV show.
Listen, I'm going to go kind of off the board here a little bit, and it's Ric Flair's last match. Ric Flair's last match was just a disgusting money grab of a pay-per-view where we watched a, 80-plus-year-old man almost die in the wrestling ring just for the buys. Honestly, what else was it for? It wasn't to impress anybody, and the guy legitimately passed out during the match. We put him in danger just to see him in some stupid tag team match with Andrade. Probably the most relevant that Andrade has been all year, though. Keep in mind, this thing was a nightmare from start to finish and so bad. You know,
but your perception of time is so screwed up, and you hate that match so much that you're talking about something that happened in 2022.
Here's the thing. Those Woo Energy drinks brought him back to life and brought him into AEW for us, right? So...
I straight up thought that happened this year. That's how bad it was. Yeah,
100%. He hated it so much. He still hates it this year.
Eric has PTSD so bad from that match that he's still counting it.
Yep. All right, we're gonna
it still hurts me. Damn it.
I'm gonna turn to the listeners because my choice is also what the listeners said. And again, I highly doubt this many people watched it unless every single person who voted for this actually paid for the pay-per-view. And I'm pretty sure more people paid for the pay-per-view than voted. And that's TNA 75 with 45% of the vote.
Yeah, that's a fair pick. That was a bad show.
Sorry. do you mean NWA
75? Oh, NWA 75. Sorry, not TNA.
Yeah, terrible. Absolutely awful. TNA will be here's bad too, and again. It was so going, NWA this time.
Going back to kind of what I said at the top of the show, right? A lot of these picks is just, a lot of it's emotion. A lot of it sometimes is your emotional reaction to the booking. And I think that this next one is 100% case and point to that. And that's WrestleMania Night 2 with 25% of the our listeners hating that show, and that's probably because of the ending of that show. In third place, Elimination Chamber with 20% of the vote.
Yeah, that show had a few big bumps in the road that made you uncomfortable.
Yep.
All right, guys. This is my favorite one. We're getting into the meat and potatoes of the picks right now. Worst promotion for 2023, I have to go to the archive because last year it was NWA with 45%, WWE with 20%, Impact Wrestling with 10%. Well, things have changed, but let's go to the round table first. Eric, what is your worst promotion for 2023?
It's still got to be NWA for me. I just think that they try far too hard to be relevant. Honestly, when we look at even Impact and the way that they run pay-per-view shows, whatever you want to see it as, we're talking about small venues that can maybe hold 150 to 250 people. And they just, they know what they are. They sell $20 tickets to go to their shows. $20 Canadian, it's not a lot. NWA wants to be on TV. They've given this massive push to EC3. They had Tyrus as their Reign of Terror champion for most of the year. And just the Smashing Pumpkin guy just doesn't really know how to run a wrestling promotion as much as he wants to believe otherwise. It's awful. You also go with the cocaine stuff going on in the background and that little segment that got them potentially kicked off of their TV deal for 2024. They are the worst promotion out there. NWA.
100% there. All right, we're going... Actually, I'm going to agree with you. NWA is my pick with an honorable mention to GCW. They're leaning into everything I hate about wrestling a little too much for my liking, but NWA is my pick. Brad, what's your pick?
Yeah, it has to be NWA. And I tried giving NWA a hate watch, hoping that I'd be wrong. And I love EC3, but I just can't. I just can't watch that show. The cocaine angle alone just was one of those things where you're like, you cost yourself a TV deal, allegedly, possibly. It's just over. Nope, just keep going.
Greg?
Grab the broom, Boris, because it's a clean sweep.
Very interesting. All right, NWA. NWA gets the vote for the S Enemy Roundtable. Now let's just... I'm going to jump straight into it. Listener votes with 50% of the vote. All Elite Wrestling.
Wow.
What? So
you guys...
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to disagree with that. I tried to watch two or three different NWA pay-per-views this year, and I could not sit through them. They were just terrible production, terrible quality. I'm sorry. AEW, yes, it's got problems, and I mean, it'll show up later, I'm sure, on people's lists as well, but... Yeah, no, I can't agree with that.
Recency bias. This is the classic case of recency bias because, like we just said in the show last week, we were talking so much about certain pay-per-views, certain matches, and they're mostly AEW matches just because it's that whole Punk effect. And that concerns me because their TV deal is going to be up. And yeah, like, is this, can they get the stink off?
Yeah. That's exactly
last week. AEW delivered on our top pay-per-view of the year, some of our top matches of the year, and some of the top performers of the year. They delivered on that. So to actually, top feud. To say that AEW is worse than Impact Wrestling, NWA, MLW, OVW, all of these other things that are thrown at us, it just goes to show that we have a very short memory as wrestling fans.
Agreed 100%, right? This is where I actually had to count manually because I'm like, something's not adding up. Like, are people joking? Are people trolling? But Brad, it is recency bias here. Like, it's 100% obvious here. So AEW with 50%, NWA with 25%, Impact Wrestling with 20%, and WWE with 5%.
Wow.
Yep. Worst TV show that features in-ring wrestling. If we take a look at last year's results, we are looking at WWE Raw with 35%, WWE NXT with 20%, AEW Rampage with 10%, and NWA Power with 5%. All right.
Greg. That doesn't even count. If you're not on TV... You're not on TV, right? Like, YouTube doesn't count. That's the way I look at it.
I agree with you. Greg, what do you got?
Speaking of not on TV, that's exactly why I went for my picks this year. And it's because we don't have it in Canada for some reason, unless they decide to come north of the border. It's Rampage and Collision. Because you have to fight to try to find this damn thing. And so if I can't watch it, then that to me makes it the worst show on TV.
There you go. Brad, what do you think is the worst TV show of 2023?
I'm stealing your pick, ROH TV. So I bought the pay-per-view and I got Honor Club so I could watch that. And their pay-per-views are so good. And then I was like, I'm going to watch some of these shows that Boris complains about. And now I know why you complain. I couldn't finish one. Not one. And I tried. I went and watched like 2 or 3 weeks of TV. Then I went back and started selecting random episodes. There is no reason to have Honor Club unless you really want to go watch old grainy matches that are in poor quality.
100%. I'm gonna say it because you just said my pick. It's ROH TV. It's shit outside of Athena, and that's literally it. Outside of Athena, no point. Doesn't need to exist. Eric, what's your pick for worst TV show?
I watch it every week, and it is Impact on Access TV. First of all, what the fuck is Access Television, and where can you even find it? I don't even know. Honestly, American listeners, tell me if you even have access to Access Television. Apparently, there's a new TV deal coming in the new year. We'll see what happens with that. But this is a two-hour program that delivers on 5 to 6, sometimes, matches. And most of the time, 5 to 6 of them are pure garbage. They just throw whatever they taped after their pay-per-view or after they sold enough tickets. They have the after show the next day. They usually tape 2 or 3 tapings in, and sitting there live watching these things, fucking atrocious. It's worse than being at an AEW event and watching 3 hours of dark matches. Like, at least those 3 hours of dark matches are somewhat entertaining. And I'll tell you this, and you might be mad about the swearing here, but the most entertained I have been at a Impact taping for Access Television this year is when Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards were leaving the ring for their match, and a guy tried to step to Eddie Edwards, and Eddie turned to him and said, "Buddy, I will fuck you up." And it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh, the rowdy fans at the Rebel Complex. Gotta love it sometimes. Yeah. Impact could be a chore. Access TV? When I'm traveling in the States, like for work and stuff, it's always in hotels. You can always find Access TV in hotels.
And so it's a
free TV then, right?
Yeah, I'll add to Eric's comments. I have tried many times this year to watch it on Access TV because I have access to Access, and I cannot find TNA when it's supposed to be on. So I don't know where and when this show actually airs. But that's half the problem, is if you can't find it, you can't watch it.
Well, AEW Rampage is the listener's pick with 45%, Women of Wrestling with 25%, and Power with 15%.
Yeah. Why are the Women of Wrestling getting such hate? Because apparently they do great numbers on syndication.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people like Women of Wrestling just because of the campy gimmicks and the nonsense and just seeing somebody else be a different character. We don't have characters really in wrestling, so at least they are trying to do something a bit different.
Yep. All right, we're down to the last couple categories here, and we're going to go to the worst supporting media. This can be book, digital series, network show, Peacock show, what have you. Brad, what's your choice?
I'm grinning from ear to ear because I'm breaking your rules. It's X, formerly known as Twitter. That is the worst supporting media. Listening to people talk and debate wrestling on X it's awful. I mean, I don't think the only thing worse is listening to people debate politics or religion on X. In fact, there is more tribalism around wrestling than there was those other two divisive topics. X, you are not helping wrestling.
And you know who loves their ex? One Mr. Tony Khan. Greg, what's your choice for worst supporting media?
So it pains me to give this one because a couple of years ago, this was my my best supporting media. It's something myself and Brad really bonded over. But it was WWE's Most Wanted Treasures when AJ Francis, Top Dollar, was on the show. And this new season they had this year that had Lita hosting it, I couldn't watch it. I turned it on one day. I saw the episode with Lita and Trish, and I was like, no, I can't do this. So Most Wanted Treasures was this, you know, gleeful moment that I would enjoy every week when it came on A&E, and now it is turn off the channel stuff. So you win my vote this year.
You know what? Every time I watch that show, all I want to do is visit that warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You want to go and meet the archivist. You want to go and see. I mean, you had Steph, you had Triple H on there. You like the first season was great. I mean, the big thing with Flair and getting his stuff back. There was some great stuff with Kane on that first season. Like, it was just a great show. And then they let Lita near it.
Eric, what is your choice for worst supporting media of 2023?
My worst supporting digital media is just all forms of social media for Hulk Hogan. What is this guy smoking recently where he is just creating his own histories of events and now being baptized as well? I know this is another recency bias kind of thing, but the craziness of Hulk Hogan has been going on now for at least 6 months for whatever reason. You know, he's making up these wins. He's making up matches that he never had. He's making up conversations and events that never happened. That, like, literally, what do you guys, like, think? Like, why do people not understand that internet is a public forum and we can search out and define that things are bullshit right away? I mean, I can find the receipts in about 2 minutes to know everything is a lie, the guy's saying. Ooh. So it's Hulk for me.
Ooh, I got this one. So here's what's happening. He's like that senile uncle you have or grandfather, and he's losing his mind, and he doesn't realize that what he's doing, we can figure it out. And it just makes me, it's, you know what it is? It's, I feel bad for the people around him. It's kind of exploitive because they should not be exploiting him. Although I think he's in on the gimmick, and the baptism one cracked me up because he's got baptized with it. Who gets baptized with a do-rag on?
I don't know. I was in Orlando. I was in Orlando in September, and I had wrestling fans ask me, like, are you going to go to Hulk Hogan's restaurant? I'm like, oh, hells no, I'm not going near that place. Like, not happening. Sorry.
So why don't you guys think of the kid from London, England, who he met on his dying bed right before he main evented Wembley Stadium? Guys, think of that kid. Think of that kid. How dare you, Eric? How dare you?
Brother.
I'm in agreement with the listeners on number two, but we're going to go down to number one, two, three. Number one, Dark Side of the Ring with 30%. I guess a lot of people really didn't like the latest season. And then Being the Elite with 20%.
Man, wow.
The Young Bucks are just taking strays left, right, and center this year. And then we have the SmackDown Lowdown, which I had to actually check to see if this was a thing with 15%.
You've now seen more of the SmackDown.
Dark Side of the Ring had...
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Side of the Ring had a lot of hits and misses this season, right? Mm. They tried to swing big, especially with the Marty Jannetty episode. And what was that episode even about? Like, it's nothing that we didn't already know. And I feel like Dark Side needs about 5 to 10 years of a hiatus to give us some really good stories again.
Yeah, because we have one more category to go, and that is similar to this conversation that we're having, the WTF moment of the year, something that you were embarrassed to be a wrestling fan with. Last year, All Out Media Scrum won with 75%, Vince McMahon 15%, and Uncle Howdy with 5%. Eric, what is your choice for your WTF moment of the year?
Honestly, I got to look at this kind of as a category of like the worst moment of the year for wrestling fans. And that has to be the death of Bray Wyatt. I know I'm going to bring it down a little bit by that making that statement. But the feeling that I felt, even talking about it now, the chills that I feel, the what the fuck moment that I had when I saw that news is something that you cannot compare to any gimmick, any surprise, any misfire. You just can't compare that. The loss of a human life to anything else in wrestling. So to lose somebody who was so cherished by the WWE fan base, and honestly, we even talk about CM Punk right now. People either love or hate CM Punk. I think everybody legitimately loved Bray Wyatt. I think they thought that he was, you know, a genius, and he was. So to lose him, that is the worst moment of the year for me, for sure.
That's my choice. Again, I saw the news come up. I saw the tweet from Triple H, And I'm like, was he hacked? Was he hacked? Like, the fact that that was my first initial thought right away. And I didn't even post it on the Facebook group because I'm like, I need to be sure that this is real because this is so effed. And yeah, it's just, again, him being so close to my age, him and his family, you know, we were getting reports of that he was getting better, but he was close to passing. And then actually, like, it just, there was so much about everything that happened around the Bray Wyatt situation that was just like, wow, just wow. Having said that, right, the way that the entire wrestling community came around together, you know, put back tribalism. Put that aside for at least a few weeks or a few hours. You know, that was a really cool, really happy thing, a really nice thing to see. But the WTF moment of the year was I agree, Eric, was the passing of Wyndham Rotunda. It was just so really weird. And yeah, I'm just thinking about it. It's bringing back a lot of weird memories. Greg, what is your WTF moment of the year?
Well, it's hard to, you know, say much after both you guys speaking, but I've got an honorable mention here to Brawl in 2023 and the fallout from that. But I think that I'm going to go and talk about the fan reaction to CM Punk's departure and then return to WWE. That, to me, has made me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan, to watch grown men cry at CM Punk returning back to WWE, a place that he hated, a place that he sued the doctor for. Like, this is not something that should be celebrated. This man shouldn't, I don't want to see this man on my TV anymore. I don't understand wrestling fans today and their love of CM Punk, their hatred of CM Punk. I'm more on board with, but I don't think that he is the needle mover that people think that he is. I'm sure that the ratings do come up when he is on, but I don't understand why. I don't, you know, as Brad has correctly pointed out, every time he was in a ring this year, practically, he managed to injure himself in one way, shape, or form. So I don't get why everyone is all over CM Punk, and CM Punk's return and departure is what makes my WTF moment of the year.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, right? And it's, you bring up great points, Greg. Like, it's just so weird how people kind of forgot the past 10 years have happened with CM Punk and everything he said, even the promos while he was in AEW, everything he said against WWE. It's just very interesting. But, you know, time heals all wounds. I don't know. Brad, what's your pick for your WTF moment?
I'm going to pick something different than all of you. It is Vince McMahon being on national television talking about the deal that forms TKO and just that whole thing with his hair and his mustache and just the feeling I feel about, okay, so he paid those NDAs, whether those relationships were consensual or not, it's just the awkwardness around it. Then there's the whole thing. It just is gross that this guy who's done all this creepy, shady stuff that we're aware of and some stuff we're not aware of, allegedly, like, there's all this baggage around him. He may be facing a grand jury indictment, and yet he is richer than he's ever been. He has a job for life. Ari Emanuel apparently loves the guy. And here's the worst part. If he was to be inducted to WWE Hall of Fame, or if he shows up on TV, fans will lose their minds celebrating him. And it just makes you feel kind of gross because it's gross. It is gross in every sense of the word. And it's one of those times where a little bit of me dies, and because I'd like to think that good guys get ahead in life. But if that's true, well, if the good die young, Vince McMahon's living to be about 300.
Jeez.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Brad. Yeah. I have nothing.
No,
to
you're
add
absolutely
to that, right.
I think, like, we have to look at how society operates, right? And ultimately, if you have a buttload of money, it just means that you can get away with stuff that me or you would never be able to get away with. And it doesn't mean that our character will ever make us do these types of actions, but just the more money you have, the more that you can get away with. And yes, Vince McMahon will be cheered if he shows up on TV tomorrow. They will love him. And secondary, I just also want to point out Greg's point. Yeah, when CM Punk left AEW, there was like this kind of just hatred towards the guy. Who cares? We don't need him. He's not going to change anything. And then he shows up at WWE, and all those guys that were like on the anti-punk train just jumped back on that nostalgia run and said, oh my God, it's CM Punk. This has now changed everything, and AEW will fail. So just the jump of one to the next makes no sense, really.
You have to give the devil his due, though. He sold so many T-shirts both for AEW and WWE that week. And he's a needle – when it comes to merchandise, he's a needle mover. And so it's one of those things. But, yeah, it is – there is – I can dislike the guy, but still be like, yeah, I get it. He did do that, but it is a fan reaction. And sometimes I think we all just need to take a breath before we react to things. Like I spent a lot of time today thinking about this pick because it was really hard because there was a lot of stuff in wrestling that makes you embarrassed, although not as much as there used to be. So I'll leave you on that positive note. I got to say, we are very lucky to be wrestling fans in today's era. We get a lot of good wrestling.
Yep. And I think sometimes it's very important for us to remember about the good as opposed to the bad. But with the good comes the bad. But, you know, there's so much less. There's so much good to celebrate. And that's the entire point of these shows. But before we go, the WTF moment of the year, according to the listeners, AEW drama was 70%, the NWA drug angle with 15%, and Logan Paul winning the U.S. title at 10%.
Wow. That's a good pick because like Greg and I talked about this a few times on the Smack Daddy's review. Like the major male titles on SmackDown are no longer available week to week.
Yep, exactly. That's crazy. It's crazy to think that they're running an entire show with no singles titles. Right?
Other than the women's title.
Yeah, well.
Does that count?
Does it? Well. Anyways, thank you guys so much for being part of the roundtable. Thanks so much for the listeners, for getting your votes in, for being listeners, for being patrons, for supporting the show in some shape or form. Like I said, 2024 is going to bring some amazing things here for SNME. First things first, we're going to be revamping the patron. We're going to make it easier for people to help support the show. And you're going to get a little something-something for supporting the show. So more info on that in the next coming days. Again, you know, you've been listening to Sunday Night's Main Event here. And we are powered by podstars.net. Also, just remember that we have a whole podcast network that you can listen to with about a show, two shows a day, and we talk about the wrestling TV shows from Impact to Rampage, well, to Collision, to Raw to SmackDown, and everything in between. And all you need to do is go to your favorite podcast catcher, podcast app, and search for Sunday Night's Main Event. And if you want to be part of this discussion and other amazing discussions that we have, go to the Facebook group and join the Facebook group. Go to Facebook, go to the search bar and search for SNME Radio to be part of the family and join the patron. Like I say, it is going to be revamped. Go to patreon.com/SNME Radio. Thank you so much. On behalf of Greg, Brad, Eric, and the entire SNME family and crew, thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year. Thanks again. And most importantly, gentlemen, you can leave it.
Stay tranquilo.
We should have done that in harmony. God bless you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Just remember, stay tranquilo.